Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show. Here we are at Merrimerri, what do you call it? I guess Jets Boat Sprint Track, is that right?
Yeah, Merrimerri Speed Bowl is what it's sort of commonly known as. But yes, the Auckland Jet Sprint Club, and it's the Merrimerri Jet Sprint Track.
There we go. And as you can see, I'm here with Ollie Silverton, the four-time national champion, with Jess as the navigator. Have you been a national champion before she was a navigator for you?
Nah, Jess has been with me the whole time, each time. So yeah, we've been a crew for that long, so it's been good.
Yep, so she's his lucky charm, and also the world champion as well.
Yeah, we picked up that title. I think it was after three New Zealand titles, and that was back in 2018 in the Group A class. And sort of our plan was to stay in Group A to contest that and try and go back-to-back in that World Series, but with the old C19 hitting us pretty hard, that championship has been pushed out and pushed out. It's due to be held in America as the next hosting country, and it's sort of just still up in limbo at the moment, and we've got no idea when we're going to run it again. So I think we're the longest reigning world champions in Group A at the moment as well, so I'm going to add another title to it.
Fantastic. Yes, it's a bit of a different long talk today because here I am, as I say, in person. Normally we do it over the video chat, so it'll be a different. But the question we normally start off with is, what is your first sporting memory?
First sporting memory for me is running around on a rugby field on a frosty morning in bare feet. And yeah, I guess, you know, not like that I'd like to admit it, but it was probably running off to mum and dad on the sideline complaining about how sore my feet were and that I couldn't even feel them. So yeah, that's mine for me.
Yeah, and back in the day, it would have been a full contact as well at 5 or 6. None of this touch or tag rugby either, eh?
Yeah, from what I remember, it was. Yeah, it may have been a touch type of rugby, but yeah, certainly not the ripper that the young fellas are doing these days.
So, did you play rugby all the way through high school and stuff, or did you tick other sports along the way?
No, I played rugby all the way through high school, and then probably into my early 30s. But it was only social. Back then it was more about the camaraderie and the beers afterwards, once I sort of got to that age, and it came to a point where the Jets running was getting quite competitive, and sort of made the call to go on the Jets sprint path, given that the money invested and that sort of thing, and couldn't afford to get an injury that was going to stop you from racing for what we have such a small season. So it was, you know, it's just made a call to stick to that and keep the body preserved.
Oh, well, because it would fit nicely, like cricket and being a summer sport. Jet boat sprinting is also a summer sport, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it was always just the sort of the start of the rugby season was getting towards the end of the jet sprint season. So, you know, you're at the competitive end of the field and going for a title, and you know, probably one or two meetings that all it was that clashed, but it was enough to not want to be injured for them.
So, have you done sort of go karting or any kind of sort of motor racing on land or stuff, or is this your first sort of experience of racing motorsport?
Yeah, no, prior to this it was I'd done no driving, so the jet sprint driving was the first competitive form of motorsport driving that I'd done. I'd done some navigating in a rally car, which was only sort of club type events and that sort of thing. So yeah, the jet sprinting was my first taste of driving.
So I mean, these obviously you have to buy your own boats. They cost what, 40-50 grand at entry level, I believe. So how do you go from, say, playing rugby to jumping on the water? And it's quite a leap.
Yeah, starting off in the entry level, I think the first boat we picked up was probably only half of those numbers we talked about, sort of 25-30 grand.
Okay.
And you can still pick up a boat for these days, you know, to get in and have a skid around and have some fun in the entry levels, sort of Group B classes. So it's not as expensive as what people think and make out. And from a running costs point of view, it's a lot cheaper as well. You haven't got brakes, clutches, gearboxes, tyres and all that sort of thing that you're churning and burning up on a constant basis. As well as there's only 5 meets a year. Well, you know, this year there's only 5, and sort of anywhere between 5 and 7. So it's not like, you know, car racing where you're every second weekend and that sort of thing. So in terms of that, you know, it's cheap enough to get into and cheap enough to maintain as well if you just want to have some fun.
Yeah, as you say, no brakes. So yeah. What's the kind of top speed for your boat? And then again, no brakes.
Yeah, so sort of top speed that we've recorded is probably sort of 120 k's an hour sort of
right.
Thing. The super boats will do a lot more than that. I sort of don't know what their numbers are, but I'll be confident enough to say that there'll be another 20 k's an hour on a decent straight. So yeah,
That's shifting. And obviously part of it is people make mistakes and hit the islands. Generally you've got good runoffs and there's no sort of tyre walls or other thing or other cars to hit because it's a time trial sort of event. So it's a relatively safe one, even if you do sometimes have the off tumble.
Yeah, luck can go your way. A lot of the tracks do have decent runoff areas and that sort of thing, so that is nice. There are some tracks, depending on what rotation and what way you're going, that there will be sort of a dirt wall that you may end up coming to grief with, but you've normally scrubbed off a lot of speed by then, so it's only a little shopping trolley dent sort of thing, hopefully all going well. So yeah, the tracks are designed to do that, and it's only if you've gone the wrong way in a channel that you're going to end up somewhere in a bank that you probably shouldn't have. So.
Oh, cool. So, going for your fifth title this year, you're neck and neck with another boat. So what are your... you just said you want to obviously go back-to-back on the world one as well. How far do you want to take it in this in jet boat sprinting?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we're in a new package this year, developed by Peter Coe out of the Sprintec factory. So that was a big step for us, and I guess that's a bit of a commitment to Group A for us. As I say, the Group A world title thing is something that we do want to go back-to-back in, but without a date, it's sort of a bit of an unknown, and we'd like to go, you know, for five consecutive New Zealand titles. Once we achieve that, well, I guess we'll reassess what the goals are for the next year, but certainly the passion and the drive for the sport's still there and still doing it in Group A, so we can look to do that world's title again.
Yeah, and there are some guys who are a good 20-odd years older than you still driving around the tracks. I mean, it's a sport that's got you've got a long... a long lifespan, unlike rugby, where you kind of run out, you get a bit too old. Being it's non-contact, you guys can keep going for quite a long time.
Yeah, I guess you can, eh? Yeah, I mean, so certainly there is an element of fitness that comes into it, well, I believe anyway. And you talk to a lot of the superboat guys who are pulling big G's and that sort of thing, a lot of them say that they need to be fit to be able to maintain, a good sort of a good eye for it and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of effort that goes in to skidding one of these around, especially when you're in a superboat, when you're sort of pulling 6G. So yeah, you need to be fit enough to be able to handle that and last the minute.
You're now scaring me a bit because it looked like a superboat that I'm going to have a go in later today. We'll see how I cope with 6G's. Hopefully we won't do that to me. But anyway, this isn't a full-time job either. You're doing this alongside, I think you're a plumber, if that's right, so you're running your own business, plumbing as well. How do you cope with that, with a time commitment point of view, to be pretty much an elite athlete and also run a full-time job?
Yeah, I guess it's just really good management and having a good wife as well. That certainly goes a long way, so it gets me out of the house probably a lot more than what some other people do. The other thing is probably that we're not engine builders or boat builders or jet unit manufacturers or experts by any stretch, so a lot of that work is done by others, so it probably costs us a lot more than what it costs a lot of the other teams that are a lot more hands-on. So the engine's all entrusted to Magnum Automotive out of Auckland. They've been with us since the early days of our sort of competitive season, and with Jess and I for all of our New Zealand titles. So yeah, I mean, that takes care of that. The jet unit and hull work is all done by Peter Coe at Sprintec in Christchurch. So we're not hands-on. Drain laying is the business that we're in, and that's what we're good at. So that's what we stick to. We don't try and dabble in spinning spanners and that sort of thing on the engine.
So there you go, folks. Yeah, if you want to get involved, you can either do it yourself or there are service providers, as it were, who can do all the work for you. So if you just enjoy the driving, you can get involved. If you actually enjoy tinkering with engines, then you can also do that as well. There are teams that you say that do it more themselves, aren't there?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of DIYers and that sort of thing, and you'll see those guys in the pits. You know, they'll be the ones in their overalls that are spinning spanners and that sort of thing to keep their boat going for the day. Whereas we're a little bit different. We've got no idea from the top end of the motor to the bottom end. So as long as it starts, we're happy.
Fantastic. So do come down here, folks, on the 20th here at Merrimurray for the in what's it called again? What bowl again?
Merrimurray Sprint Bowl.
Sprint Bowl. That's it. On the sprint for some action, and also look out on the Facebook page because you're going to see my reaction to being in one of these boats. I've got a funny feeling I might be a little bit scared here, but I am a bit afraid. But I'm sure they'll look after me well. So good luck for the rest of the season, and thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Cheers.